Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are chatting with Ed Moya, senior market analyst over at Oanda. Now, Ed, we're kicking off this shortened trading holiday week with a lot of red on the screen, pretty much across the board. Doesn't really matter what market you're looking at. I'm seeing red throughout the day and throughout all of my charts. I want to take a bit of a big picture look at maybe some of the key themes that are catching your eye at the end of the year and will carry over to next year. We'll try to avoid the whole COVID theme because, boy, oh boy, have we talked about that. Look, it's still around. But outside of, let's say, COVID, Ed, what is on your mind? What are some key developing themes here that should have some impact on the market and are maybe a bit surprising as we near the end of this year?
Well, I think there is strong consensus on Wall Street that President Biden was going to be able to finally deliver Build Back Better and that you were going to get another $2 trillion stimulus package hitting the economy, which was really providing, I think, some optimism that, you know, the beginning of 2022 could be a bumpy ride. But with all this extra stimulus still coming in, that there was a lot of optimism that, you know, you're still looking at 10% growth for U.S. equities. And I think what a lot of traders are you know, really, you know, they're going to their their desks to start trade this week, and they're stunned that you saw Senator Joe Manchin play the Grinch and basically tell Biden he's not supporting this new legislation. And that is leading to a scramble of downgraded forecasts for growth for next year. And I think that you're you know, I think the consensus on Wall Street, it was wide, but, you know, I was targeting 4% growth. If we don't get, you know, Build Back Better, you know, you're looking something, you know, you'd easily top off of 1 full percentage point off of growth. So there's a big hit in the short term outlook. And, you know, just because Manchin said no dice right now, I think you're probably going to see the next few weeks are going to be all about building political pressure against him. And President Biden wants to deliver massive social and environmental legislation. And he knows that this is it. This is the last major piece of legislation he can get done before the midterm elections. So he's going to be speaking and he's going to probably try to, you know, remind Manchin that, you know, back in July, when he, you know, initially provided his objection to that bill, the Democrats really, and it's hard to call Manchin a Democrat today, they conceded on a lot of his demands and lowering the proposed, you know, price tag from $3.5 trillion to having it to $1.75, which, you know, Manchin was asking for $1.5. And I think that you're seeing that this is going to be a big, you know, uncertainty, I think, for these next several weeks. And everyone was anticipating, well, at some point, the Santa Claus rally should set in. And it seems that with this Manchin move, and as we're continuing to see that wall of worry grow with COVID, it just seems that equities have been very vulnerable going into year end, and trading volumes are declining quickly. So this is going to be very choppy and messy, I think, as we close out the year. But the bull case is still firmly intact, but you're definitely seeing risk get taken off to start this trading week.
Well, Ed, I think you're right. I think we may have the Manchin Grinch stealing the Santa Claus rally here. But you'd mentioned that the growth forecasts are now being revised. And there's been a flurry of financial press out today discussing this Build Back Better, you know, not happening the way people hoped it would. I even saw an article that we were laughing about offline that says it may have to build back later. So what sectors do you think will be hit the hardest from this if the growth forecasts are ratcheted down? I mean, what areas of the economy do you think may take it on the chin from that?
Well, I think the big question is, I think investors, they know that this is a big hit. And the question is, are we going to start to see a flight to safety where investors just go back to their favorite trade? And that was big tech during much of this pandemic. And I think you're going to see that that is going to be tested. We've seen some significant weakness over these last recent sessions. And I think investors, you know, we're probably going to have, I think, that safety trade for some where, yes, you know, I think everything is going to go down, but utilities, healthcare, real estate, those might kind of do a little bit better, consumer staples too. But I think that you're, as far as, you know, the outlook for next year, I think you're probably going to be looking at a lot of people eyeing some of these big tech key levels. And if we test key moving averages, that might be the trigger point for a lot of people. I think there's, you know, that build back later. I think it would be it would be surprising if nothing got done, but, you know, I think the risks are growing here. And some of the, I think Manchin does not want to have his name attached to some of these social policies. And while this could play terribly for the Democrats, I think Manchin is kind of emerging as a hero for many Republicans. And my skepticism has remained elevated that Manchin would eventually concede here. But I think you're probably going to see that, and a lot of investors will still anticipate that something will get done later. But I think that it will be very, the longer this takes, the harder it'll be able for the Democrats to get this pushed through, especially once we're past the Christmas wave of the virus. And I think that there could be a strong argument that at that point, the economy might not need much more of the support because it will be expected to be bouncing back fairly strongly once we're done with this, what will be the winter wave of the virus.
So, Ed, if growth expectations will get cut, or quite frankly, if there isn't this large injection of capital that now with the Fed stepping back that this infrastructure bill could provide, does that mean we need to completely adjust some of the consensus estimates on the energy sector? Because the energy sector has been a standout this year with how much oil is run, but now even oil has come off from some of its recent highs. And quite frankly, again, if we're not going to have that extra capital available, and if it's not going to be put into actually building stuff, do we need to reanalyze the whole energy sector?
I think the energy sector is going to be fascinating because throughout all, you know, these price moves and for much of the year, it's been a one-way trade higher until we really stalled out at the end of October. There has been no major efforts in reinvesting in new wells. And I think that you had an oil market deficit that remained in place for all of the year. And now it seems that given some of these short-term headaches for the demand outlook and all the different catalysts that were supposed to provide extra reason to just gravitate towards that long oil trade, it's gotten a lot of bumps in the road, and now you're seeing, you know, the demand outlook and OPEC, you know, OPEC strategy of keeping this meeting open, this has energy sector very, very much susceptible to a significant pullback, and I think you're seeing, you know, this new move lower with oil prices is going to lead to, I think, more profit taking, because energy, when you take a look at how investors were riding this wave higher, there is still significant investments in energy stocks that can be undone. So I think here you're seeing that the long-term outlook for oil is divided. You have a lot of people still saying that there's a strong likelihood you could have $100 oil later this year, just solely on that lack of reinvestment in new wells. And I think that as the demand outlook moderates, you know, everyone's trying to, no one has a firm handle on what supply will do. And that's the big wild card. And you know, you have shutdowns in Libya. That's not giving oil any of a bid today. You have, you know, these Iran nuclear talks, which, you know, we concluded the seventh round, and there's still, you know, so much political incentive for both sides to get, you know, that deal reinstated. And that would, you know, pave the way for more Iranian barrels of crude. But that doesn't seem like that'll happen anytime soon. So I think you're still looking at an oil market that there could be one major plunge. And you know, I think we're, you know, mid-60s was you know, if we were to talk a week ago, I probably would have said mid-60s is where you'll look to see some people be constructive. But I still think that the way the oil market is positioned, you're still vulnerable to higher prices. It's just that right now you're having low trading volumes. You have a lot of traders that are de-risking as we go into year end. And this is going to lead to, I think, further reasons why, you know, there could be some more downward pressure here on energy stocks and on crude prices. But I think still the outlook is for prices to mainly rebound sharply at some point. So this is an interesting, you know, last few weeks of trade. But I think that now you're trading below some key technical levels. So there, you know, if we saw oil, you know, have a plunge towards $60, at least that is for WTI, I think that, you know, you would definitely probably see a lot of long-term energy traders say this is too good to pass up.
Yeah, interesting to see how some of the consensus can change heading into next year. But as you even said, maybe a bigger dip could be bought too, right? And there's just so much news that we don't know how it's going to play out into next year. And just how this infrastructure bill is going to progress through, when it will get passed, what that amount will be, and if it takes so long that nobody even cares by that point. We've seen that happen before with some of these capital injections. This one, again, seems very much stalled. Ed, thanks as always for your time, buddy. We'll chat again hopefully next week, right before the end of the year. And well, I hope you have a very happy holiday season. I appreciate all your comments from this year.
Thank you, Corey. It's a pleasure, and happy holidays to you too.